Hello.
Hello-er. So, a number of people have told us they heard us on the radio today. How many of you heard that radio? What I'm curious about is, did anybody see our late night TV spot? Anybody? Nobody? I knew our budget needed to be bigger, but we had 150 bucks between us and, you know, we did the best. But we're so proud. We worked really hard on this TV spot. And we just want to play it for you right now. How's your concert going? Life lost its spark.
Is your favorite concert hall seat near the exit doors?
Are you bored by night after night of the same repertoire played by the same four string quartets?
Do you miss the days when you stayed for encore after encore and shouted for more?
Has your musical joie de vivre lost its je ne sais quoi?
Then ask your concert presenter about Low and Lower, America's number one selling cello bass duo, and your answer to musical malaise and audience ennui, because you never know when a low note
or a lower note might turn a musical moment into something more, and you want to be ready. Fortified impresario survey prescribed low and lower for audiences that are bored to tears. For more high ring, low and lower. Make sure you are healthy enough for musical activity. Do not stay after your mission if you are pregnant, nursing, or may become pregnant.
Please consult your musicologist immediately if you experience a development section lasting more than 4 hours.
Common side effects include hysteria, bliss, enlightenment, revelation, and epiphany.
Consternation, disbelief, giddiness, outrage, and flabbergasting.
Goose pimple, transfixiation, shallow envy, and mania-induced temporary hearing loss. So come on, what are you waiting for? Get back in the game with Low and Lower.
Try to tell you that low T is your problem, but we're here to tell you that low D is the solution. Now, I kid you not, low D is the solution. It is the solution to all of our repertoire because we love this key. We have open strings that ring with the open D. It's easy to play in this key. And perhaps that's why Johann Sebastian Bach chose his final and greatest cello suite and saved it for the key of D major. And D major cello suite is what we're going to play for you now. This is an incredible piece because it was written for a five-string cello. At last count, I have only four, and most modern cellists have only four. However, we see that between us, we have eight. So we thought, why not arrange it for eight strings, and we can knock the socks off of this piece in D major. So, without further ado, we give you the Sweet Six Prelude.
Take it away, Brooks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Piece we'd like to play for you is a piece that I wrote, and probably the reason I'm here, because once I wrote it, I said, I have to go and play this in Homer. And what happened is, I'm an Alaskan by heritage. I grew up here, lived in Anchorage, and I have come back every summer, hung out with my parents who still live in Anchorage. And on one such occasion, we went to Homer. We rented that quarry yurt across the bay, Sadie Cove area. And on one excursion, when I was out in the single kayak by myself, I was paddling around the bay and kind of close to shore, and I looked up and there's a bald eagle staring down at me, and I'm kind of enjoying this gentle undulation of the surf, you know, rising and falling, kind of like you're on the bellows of the earth, or the lungs of the earth. That's how it felt to me at the time. And I'm looking up at this eagle thinking, man, what a great state. I'm so lucky to have lived here and grown up here, and so lucky to have come back, you know, 30 times since I left. And, you know, just really enjoying nature. And this eagle, as if sensing my thoughts, suddenly lit from the tree and just swirled above my head for a while, maybe about 20 feet above me, just kind of swirling, and he kicked his tail out in a funny way, and this feather flew out of his tail, and it just kind of spiraled down toward me, and it landed right in the water next to my kayak. And I thought, that's going to sink to the bottom of the ocean. So I grabbed the feather, and I put it in my kayak. Now, all kinds of craziness ensued because of this one particular moment. And this is a story that is all true, based on an epic poem I wrote about that experience. So I hope you enjoy it. Words and music by me. A few years ago, there was a father, and this father had a feather. He was not feathered, being human and not flighted, but had snatched this feather once it had been sighted. He was father to three daughters that with this feather would be delighted. It would eliminate the last-minute airport panic, the travel gift for each child, a task always frantic. You see, this feather was not plucked, nor was it pilfered, but rather it had fallen from an eagle's back in an Alaskan bay called Kachemak. Floating gently, then flying fitfully. And finally landing as a bit of flotsam. An inconsequential addition to the vast Pacific Ocean's jetsam. It should have been swallowed, swept by the surf, and finally surrendering, submerged a sliver of silver to the very bottom, foundering. If not for this father, who had been watching as this eagle turned and dropped its offering. It was meant for me, thought the father, since next to his kayak it had landed. While he bobbed alone on the ocean's lather, into his custody the feather was remanded. Promptly grabbing, saving, and stowing, he tucked it into the boat's webbing. He, with his paddle, quickly rowed, bearing new treasure for his daughters, show and telling. Upon arriving on the shore, this father's father greeted him. Yet the feather that his son bore had turned his countenance to chagrin. With an expression that betrayed concern, he grabbed the kayak's stern. Is that, he asked, from a bald eagle? Because if it is, I'm not sure it's legal. The son was quickly cavalier, as surely the feather was an omen, or at the very least a proud souvenir to be presented to his daughters dear. Concerned though he was over his father's consternating, he was aware that age can make fear somewhat dominating. The young father chose to grip the feather and reject the old man's opinionated. That feather was clearly destined for me, a divine gift free from litigating. Upon returning to the port of Homer, he noted that his brief yet epic odyssey on the Bay of Kachemak was over. but the eagle feather had not lost its potency. As the kayak was being unloaded, the water taximan's eyes lit upon the eagle's gift. Stroking his chin, he prepared to comment as he struggled with the kayak to lift.
"Ah, the famous Alaskan prairie chicken feather,"
said he. His eyes were twinkling conspiratorially.
"I'd be careful where you stow it, or fish and game may see and know it."
"What is it with these people?"
thought the father.
"'Twas an omen and a gift. Do these people have no poetry? All they can do is think of legality." "I found it and preserved it, and my grandchildren will enjoy it in the posterity." From that moment, the father chose to hide it. It was his. No one could deny it. His children would be delighted with his piece of fauna. He'd tell the feather story in the Carolinas, unmarred by other supposed knowledge or of federal statutes they'd learned in college. As he packed to leave Alaska's anchorage, he sought to avoid another lecture on eagles' plumage. He contemplated the feather's stowage. In his carry-on or in his luggage? "Or shall I tuck it in the bend of my hat and stride boldly on the plane, looking Alaskan stylish and debonair? An Alaskan omen you mustn't restrain,"
thought he.
"Legal concerns be darned. They clearly have no merit." But upon leaving the house, he mused belatedly, "Prudence is a virtue. Perhaps I'd better hide it." Cracking the cover on his massive bass trunk, he slid the feather deeply into the bass bow pocket. Shutting the case with a secure thunk, he took more than his usual time to lock it. The flight was average. Boring, actually. Until he remembered in mid-flight of the bull, bald eagle, soaring powerfully over ocean cloud and kayak bright. "How similar am I to the eagle? My parenting is effortless and easy. Skills like mine shouldn't be legal. Other struggles, they make me queasy. The gift of an eagle feather is genius. Natural gifts are an antidote to meanness, and costing nothing, they are maintainable. Not to mention, ridiculously maintainable." He fell asleep while mulling his next post to Facebook, contemplating hashtags that might be appropriate. Hashtag winning at parenting, and hashtag feather straight from God. As the plane pulled into the gate at RDU, he saw some flashing lights and uniforms of blue. "Drug bust at the gate," thought he. Then his throat caught. "The feather," he thought. His brow was furrowed and sweaty. Tomorrow's headline could be a doozy. "Colombia's father flies in with feather." He wasn't ready to go to the slammer. But the cops paid him no mind, as past them he purposely swaggered towards baggage claim to find a bass trunk, and seizing it out the door, he staggered. Arriving home, he was greeted by three daughters joyfully. Clamoring for presents from Alaska, they hung from his neck and arms gleefully. He said, "Do you want to open them now, I ask you? A stuffed husky dog. And some Russian jewelry for the eldest." Each daughter was delighted with her haul, but what the father held last, he knew would be the bestest. "There's one more," he shouted triumphantly. "But I've stashed it in my base case." With great anticipation, they rushed out quickly. With curiosity bursting upon each face. "What is it?" they cried impatiently. "And Why did you hide it? They said imploringly. Because this is truly special, said he. A gift from the Alaskan wild.
8 stars of gold.
Given specially to me.
On a field of gold.
Sliding it very slowly out of the bow pocket, in an effort to enjoy the moment and prolong it, he finally revealed the feather in all its glory and said, "You have to hear this feather's story. You see, I was on Kachemak Bay, kayaking."
"Dad, that's not a bald eagle feather, is it, Dad?"
Ella, the 10-year-old middle daughter, began choking.
"Because if it is, you've done something very, very bad."
He chuckled and said, "Please, it's a feather." His eyes were rolling.
"It's a federal offense, I'm serious,"
said Ella, and she started bawling. Even the youngest took the cue and began her own caterwauling, and Emmy the eldest looked at both and commenced yawning.
"Look," said the father,
"if there is an offense, I'm sure it is minor. The most I'll get's a slap on the wrist for a misdemeanor. In fact, I'll prove it if you find my computer. Google will calm us down. Though I'll be sorry, because if I'm frank, your worried faces couldn't be cuter." That statement was met with frowns and grimaces. So the father quickly typed, "Eagle flight, federal offenses." The results were quick and clarifying. The father read them, a new awareness dawning. A first offense violation of the Bald and Gold Eagle Act, meaning possession of any part of an eagle carcass, including talons, beak, feather, etc., can result in a fine of $100,000, 1 year imprisonment,
or both.
There is no rhyming for a sentence that damning, nor music capable of soothing. Yet the father did his darndest to lighten the mood. "1 year, that's nothing. In 2 days, I'll get used to the food." Ella cried, "Out!
This is not funny. You'll go to jail and lose all our money. For Native Americans, this feather is sacred. Keeping this feather continues 400 years of hatred."
Forthright and truthful, but to trust the legal system in this, he was doubtful.
"Throw it out the window of a car while speeding.
And be pulled over for being above the limit and littering? And when asked what I threw out the window, say, 'Sorry, officer, I don't know.'" They found themselves in a bit of a quandary. So the father said, "I'm sorry, but I really have to do some laundry."
"Dad!"
said Amelia the eldest.
"These two can't take this. Solve this now or you're just being selfish."
Once again, Google provided the solution. The National Eagle Depository would provide absolution. An anonymous letter detailing the situation was written and sealed with a feather. A large envelope hidden. In an effort to make sure all was done properly, the three daughters jumped into the car quickly. They strode off to write their father with justice, heading eagerly to the post office. They walked quickly past a policeman at the door, looking guilty as sin, their eyes on the floor. Their father, not wanting to relinquish the mischief just yet, dropped the package at the cop's feet. And their eyes met. The children glared at their father's ineptness and communicated silently, "We won't forget this!" Then, standing in line for a wait that seemed interminable, they arrived at the counter looking less than unflappable. "Package to Denver," said the postwoman. "I see. To the National Bald Eagle Depository." The children looked at their father questioningly. Was that statement accusatory? "Send it straight to Colorado," said the father. "But no need to rush it." "No problem," she said. "But something's the matter. There's no return address, and I really would add it." The world stopped at that moment, and all breathing did cease. Even the cop turned to look. The stillness was disturbing his peace. All three girls turned to look at their dad, their eyes wide with fear and even a bit sad. Ella shook her head violently, and Amelia mouthed no emphatically. "It's an anonymous gift," stammered the father. He lost a bit of his calm. "For the federal authorities, who worked so hard all day long." Well, the woman smiled and then said, "Well, that's what taxes are for, leastwise till you're dead." She laughed too loudly while shutting the register drawer. With the feather, now booked to take its last flight, the girls heaved sighs of relief and delight, and the father gathered his brood to leave, grateful for his daughters, justice, and the reprieve. With a poem so epic, there must be a moral, a concrete truth delivered with benefit for all. Instead, as per our usual low and lower bailiwick, Low, with some effort, has crafted a limerick.
If a father with three daughters perky finds a feather in seawater's murky, he should not be absurd. He should ID the bird and make for darn sure it's a turkey.
Started plotting this possible tour to Homer after I'd written this piece about the eagle feather and it seemed so natural. I immediately thought, Homer. And then I remembered back to a bass lesson I taught this young lady right here at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. And then I remembered the fact...
I was amazing, by the way.
She was amazing. And then I remembered the fact that she sang in church choir as kind of one of her gigs that she would do every Sunday, the same church choir I sang in, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool? And of course, I knew that she'd gone on to fame and stardom on television. I thought, wouldn't it be cool to do a piece with Emily? And we actually have played the next piece, Ebarmadich by Bach, together already before, like 10 years ago probably.
About 10 years. Good Lord. We're dating ourselves here.
That's right. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you. jazz time, everybody.
Teaching moment whenever I can, and you know, I say to them, the music business is such a challenging business that whether or not you are a musical genius, at the very least, you have to market yourself as one. And so, that's the kind of teacher I am, right? Very practical. And so, with apologies to Gilbert and Sullivan, we have written a song called A Modern Music Genius. Those are bows, by the way. I'm very well informed about the instrumental pedigrees. The Stoli Colonini and the Galliano families, Woodberry and Amati and the famous Stradivarius. Stradivarius, that's a tough one. Oh, got it. That's not to be confused with Capricorn and Sagittarius.
That's not to be confused with Capricorn and Sagittarius. It's not to be confused with Capricorn and Sagittarius. It's not to be confused with Capricorn and Sagittarius.
They're beautifully crafted and extremely light and portable. And did I also mention they're completely unaffordable? But still it matters Mendelssohn and Mozart and Rossini, as I am the very model of a modern music genius.
But still it matters Mendelssohn and Mozart and Rossini, as he is the very model of a modern music genius.
In fact, when I know what is meant by stretto and crescendo, and can definitely grasp the difference twixt colando and morendo. You see, colando means fading away, whereas morendo means dying out. When retrograde inversion needs defining, and define I do. When asked just what I think of Justin Bieber, I say, Justin who? When I complain, you're playing flat, and call it tonal flatulence. When I have spammed the internet with tweets of self-congratulance. When I admit to knowing 97 good viola jokes.
Viola jokes. Oh, God. First of all, how many violists are there here? Raise your hand. Sorry. Okay, so these 200 violists are on a plane, and the plane gets hijacked, and the hijackers demand $1 million for each hostage. And with every hour that passes where the demands are not met, they release another violist. Now, where was I?
Viola jokes, yeah.
You stay on number two because the song, it isn't over, folks. For musical sophistication, I am quite the pinnacle, revered by every Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, and rabbinical. There's virtual consensus here, there is no in-betweenius. I am the very